Well, how many of you have heard the song, I have decided to follow Jesus, or wherever he leads, I'll go? How many of you heard that? And when do you normally hear that in a service? At the end, exactly right. It's an altar call. And what do those songs say? Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ, who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll take up my cross and follow him. Wherever he leads, I'll go. What is that message? Discipleship, exactly. It's a discipleship message, but many times it's given in a altar call whenever the pastor's standing up there and asking people if they want to have eternal life, this great gift that God has to offer to all people and everything, then if you want to make that step of faith, if you want to come down here and you want to follow Christ with your life, then wherever he leads, I'll go. We're going to play that stanza and you come on down. It's a confusing message. It's confusing because it's confusing discipleship and salvation. It's putting the two together. We know that what do you have to do in order to have eternal life? Faith, believe, exactly right. And that's what it takes to have eternal life. But following Christ and being a disciple of Christ, it costs us, and it's a different message. So many people confuse the message, but we need to understand that there is a distinct difference between salvation and discipleship. We must not confuse the message or fuse those two messages together, because then it causes confusion and it affects three things that we're going to see at the end of this lesson this morning. So our goal this morning is to understand the distinction between salvation and discipleship. Scripture makes a clear distinction. There are distinct messages, and we're going to see it from three different people this morning, of Jesus, Paul, and John. They have a message of salvation. They also have a message of discipleship. Let's think first about salvation. And salvation is what? It's a gift, exactly right. And so we know that it's a gift, and that we know that based off of what verse? John 3:16. What else? Ephesians 2:8-9. Exactly right. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. So salvation is a gift. It costs us absolutely nothing. So salvation costs us nothing. What must we do to be saved? We believe in Jesus Christ to gain eternal life, to gain salvation. So what are some verses that tell us that we need to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life? Sky already said John 3:16. What are some other ones? What's that? John 6:47. Acts 16:31. Exactly right. That's what we need to be able to do whenever we go up and talk to people, or whenever people tell us that the message of salvation is grace plus works, or it's faith plus works, we need to have verses that show them that it is simply believing in Jesus Christ that we have everlasting life. So we need to have those verses ready. So salvation is a gift. It costs us absolutely nothing. Let's think next about discipleship. Discipleship is based on our works. It's based on how we live our life. We are to live our life according to Romans 12:1-2. He says, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifices acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So we are to offer our bodies, we are to offer our lives as living sacrifices, because we are to be living for God. We are to be living for Christ in this lost and fallen world. So discipleship, according to Romans 12:1-2, costs us our lives. So what do? To be a disciple, we offer our lives. I think of it in this way. Salvation deals with where we will live out all eternity, while discipleship deals with how we'll live out all eternity. There's two options of where we're going to spend all eternity. All people are going to exist forever, some living together with Jesus Christ and some separated from Jesus Christ. But all people are going to exist forever. By faith in Jesus Christ, we get eternal life, which is an eternal relationship with God the Father, with Jesus Christ, that begins at the moment that you believe in Him. And so where we're going to spend out eternity is what salvation is, and it's based on our faith in Jesus Christ. If we never place our faith in Jesus Christ, then we're going to spend all eternity separated from God the Father. The Bible calls that the second death, and people there exist forever, dying forever, separated from God the Father. But how we live out all eternity is based on how we live out our lives right here and right now. Hebrews talks about the metakoi, the partners, those who persevere all the way to the end. Many people say, yes, there is a reward for perseverance, and they say that that reward is eternal life. Now, I will tell you, there is a reward for perseverance, but that reward is not eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. It's not a reward. It's a gift given. We've already seen that, Ephesians 2:8-9. But there is a reward, and it's a position of responsibility for those who persevere, who live in this life according to the way that God wants us to live. We are living according to His will, doing His will, and that comes as we live our lives. And so we're rewarded with a position of responsibility. If you think all the way back in the garden, when Adam was placed in the garden, he was given a responsibility to keep up the garden, to oversee all of the animals, the creatures that God made. He had a responsibility. Each of us, whenever we go on in our eternal future, we're all going to have positions of responsibility, and it's based on how we live our lives here. So, salvation is a gift. It costs us nothing. But discipleship costs us our lives. Based on how we live in this life, we're going to be rewarded in the life to come, eternal life. So let's think about the distinct messages that three people, Jesus, Paul, and John, give, first for salvation, and then we'll do the same thing for discipleship. So let's first look at Jesus, and his first message is in John 3:16. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world," that's his motivation, is that he loved the world. And that message is for who? It's for the world. It's for everyone. So the message of John 3:16 is for everyone. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." He gave his son to do what? To die and rise again. He died paying the payment for sin. He arose conquering death. And because he has conquered death, he has the ability to give life to who? What does the verse say? "Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So whosoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not be separated from him for all eternity, but shall have eternal life, that eternal relationship that begins the moment you believe in Jesus Christ. That's one of the greatest verses that we can use to share our faith, because it shows that God loved everyone, and that includes the person that you're talking to, so much that he gave his son to die and rise again, so that you can, by simply believing him, have eternal life. It's a beautiful message. It's a message that we are to be proclaiming to unbelievers. And it's a message that if you're here today and never put your faith in Jesus Christ, right where you're sitting, you can believe in him, and he offers you the gift of everlasting life. Let's think about another message that Jesus gave as far as salvation. It's found in John 11:25. John 11:25, he's talking to Martha, and he says, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies." So Jesus says to Martha, it's the story of Lazarus and been in the grave for 4 days. Martha runs out because she hears that Jesus is coming, and Jesus said to her that I am the resurrection and the life. Because he is the resurrection, because he arose from the grave, he is the life. He is the one who can give life to all who simply do what? He who believes in me. And I think it's key. So many times whenever we talk about salvation is we talk about that it's just believing. It's just believing. But the key is the object of who we're believing in. We're believing in the person of Jesus Christ to give us eternal life. We're not believing in the facts that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that Jesus Christ was, that he was risen from the grave. There is proof in that. And because of that proof, we look at that and we believe in him. We trust in him to give us eternal life. Because he has conquered death, he is the one who can give us life. So it says, he who believes in me. And I think the in me is key as well. Well, let's look at another message that Jesus gave, and it's found in John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. There's three aspects, past, present, and future, found in John 5:24. He says, truly, truly, I say to you. So, amen, amen. Listen up. I say to you, he who hears my word. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what are we to be doing? We're to be going out and proclaiming the gospel to unbelievers. He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, present tense. So at the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life and does not come into judgment. In the future, you do not come into judgment. You're not going to be one of the ones standing at the great white throne judgment to realize what your fate is, because if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you don't have to stand for that judgment of whether you're going to spend all eternity with him or separated from him. There is a judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, which is the rewarding stand, but not a judgment seat to be judged on where you're going to spend all eternity. But it's a place of rewards where we're going to be rewarded for the things that we've done in this life. But he does not come into judgment, but he has passed from death into life. So it's past tense. At the moment that you believed in Jesus Christ, you passed from death to life. So he who believes in him, present tense, has eternal life, does not come into judgment in the future, but has already passed from death to life. And it is by he who believes in him. So three messages of salvation that are given by Jesus Christ, and it's clear and distinct that the message is simply believe in Christ for everlasting life. Everybody clear on that? Okay, let's go to the next person, and that is Paul. And Paul has the message of Ephesians 2:8-9, which we talked about a while ago just briefly. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So it is grace. And what is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. It's God giving us something that we don't deserve. There is no one in this room, based on the way that we live our lives, based on anything that we have done, we are doing, or will do, that we deserve eternal life. There may be some people in here who are really good. There may be some people in here who are really bad. But the truth is, none of us, no matter how good or bad we are, deserve what God has given to us. It is his grace that you have been saved through faith. Notice, you have been saved. It's past tense. Salvation, eternal life salvation. We're going to talk about here in just a minute that there's actually three aspects of salvation, but past tense is talking about eternal life salvation. So you have been saved through faith. Through faith in the person of Jesus Christ, we are saved. That not of ourselves, so it's not of our doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. It is a gift. If you do anything to earn it, it is no longer a gift. And so Paul makes it perfectly clear that salvation is a gift by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:16, the next message that he has, and if you can't understand it from this, I don't know if you'll ever be able to understand it, because he basically says three times the same thing. He just does it in a different order so that you can make sure that he is clear on the message that he is trying to portray. It says, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified, and justified is justification, it's eternal life, salvation, it's being declared right before God. And so that a man is not declared right by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Even though we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. So it's not by the works of the law, but by faith. It's by faith, but not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. So how we live our lives and being good or bad or anything like that is not how we are justified. We're not justified by living out the law. We're not justified by living righteously or godly in this present age. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. So it's not by works, but by faith. So perfectly clear on his message of salvation. Then the third person is John. And John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So by believing in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. We become children of God by believing in Jesus Christ. Many times people will say we're all children of God, but the truth is unbelievers are not children of God. But by faith in Jesus Christ, by believing in Jesus Christ, we become a child of God. We begin that relationship, that eternal relationship with him at the moment that we believe in him. So what have we seen? We've seen three different people who give a message of salvation. And in all three instances, all three people, their message for salvation is simply believe in Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. So let's next, or is there any questions about any of that? That's pretty clear, I think. Okay, let's go to discipleship and let's see these same three guys and see a message that they give for discipleship. And Jesus says in Mark 8:34, and he summoned the crowd along with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So is that the same message that he gave earlier in John 3:16, 11:25, and 5:24? No, it's a distinctly different message. The other one was believe, and you receive eternal life. This one is there are many aspects that we must do. We must deny ourselves, we must take up our cross, and we must follow him. And this is a message of discipleship. It is the message that we think about whenever we heard those songs, that we will follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. That's what he's talking about in this verse. It's a message of discipleship, that we are willing to live for Christ rather than living for ourselves. We're living for God's will and his purpose rather than ourselves. Just as Jesus Christ went to the cross for us so that we could have eternal life, we are to turn around as disciples of his and take up our cross and follow him and live according to God's will. But it's a distinctly different message than Jesus gave on salvation. Let's next think about Paul. And this is that Romans 12:1 and 2 that we saw earlier. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. He says, therefore, I urge you, brethren. Notice he says, I urge you, I beg you, brethren. This is not something that happens automatically. Many people say that if you're a believer, if you're a saved person, you'll live perfectly, you'll live right, you'll live You won't live perfectly. I don't think anybody says that, but you'll live right. You'll live a right life. You'll follow and live according to the law. But if that's the way that you're going to live your life, then why is Paul having to beg these brethren, so people who are already believers, why is he having to beg them to offer their bodies, to present their bodies as a living and holy sacrifice if it's something that automatically happens? It's not something that automatically happens. So he's begging these believers by the mercies of God to present their bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. And it's important that it's a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they were dead sacrifices. They killed them. But here it's a living sacrifice because we are to be doing what? We are to be living for God, living according to his will. So it is a distinctly different message than Paul's message in Ephesians 2:8-9 and Galatians 2:16. Verse 2 goes on and says that it takes conscious and constant effort in order to live in this way. It's not something that happens at one point in time and then it's just easy flowing from there. We have to consciously, like JB says, if you're not consciously being transformed by the Word of God, you'll unconsciously be conformed to the world. And so we have to make a constant and conscious effort to be living in the right way, living according to the will of God. So, two distinct messages by Paul. The third person, John, 1 John 2:4. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. So anyone who does not keep my commands is a liar. And one thing that you do have to know, because this is kind of a hard verse here and it's in a hard passage and a hard section in 1 John, but the one who says, I have come to know him, many times when Paul talks about knowing Christ, it's knowing him for eternal life. But the book of 1 John is all about fellowship. It's about abiding. And so what he's saying here is if you say, I've come to know him in a fellowship aspect, if you say that I've come to know him and I'm following him in discipleship and I'm living my life for him and does not keep his commandments, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. So he is a liar. So you're not in fellowship with him. You're not being a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're not living like you're supposed to be living if you do not keep his commandments. So it takes more than just knowing God's word to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's obeying God's word and living as a disciple of Christ, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and living in that way. So there's three distinct messages for salvation that we saw from three different people, and then there is a distinctly different message for discipleship. So basically a summary of what we've seen so far is that we realize that salvation message is a message of grace by faith, and the discipleship message is a message of service, denial of self, and taking up your cross. Any questions or comments? Okay, I like that. Let's look at the next thing. And you've got this handout all in one sheet in the handout that I gave to you. But I think this is good to see the side-by-side comparison of justification and sanctification. So salvation and discipleship. Salvation is justification. That's being declared right. It is past tense. Whenever you see that you have been saved in the past, in the Bible, it is justification. It is talking about eternal life, salvation. There is sanctification is discipleship, and that is the Christian life and how we live. We are being saved. So if you see verses that talk about we are being saved, then that is salvation as far as the aspect of sanctification. Then there's another aspect, glorification, and I think Eric's going to hit on all three of those this morning, teaching through Titus, his Titus passage this morning. But justification, you have been saved. Sanctification, you are being saved. Past tense, eternal life. Sanctification, Christian life. Then next, look at B. Salvation is by grace through faith, where discipleship is based off of our works. Salvation is free. Discipleship costs us. Salvation is Christ on the cross, where discipleship is the believer taking up the cross. So we are to live, Romans 8:29, our goal in our life is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Jesus Christ was willing. He said, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." And he was willing to go to the cross to die and rise again so that we could have an eternal relationship with God the Father. We are to die to ourselves and obey the will of the Father to go out to other people and tell them the message of what Jesus Christ did on the cross so that they can have eternal life as a gift. But it costs us. It means we have to take up our cross in order to do that. Eternal life with Christ, and that got left off the slide, but eternal life with Christ versus rewards from Christ. So salvation is eternal life with Christ. It's that relationship with Christ where discipleship, we get rewards from Christ, and it's based on the life that we live here on this earth. The salvation message is for unbelievers, where discipleship is a message for believers. We said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That message is for the entire world. It is a message that is for everyone, but we saw that discipleship is a message for believers. That's why Paul said in Romans 12:1, "I urge you, brethren," he's talking to believers. It's a message that we take to believers. Two distinctly different messages. There's only one condition for salvation, and that is simply to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. I would put that on your paper. It says to believe, but I would put on there to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life, because that's what we want people to do. We want them to believe in the person of Jesus Christ who has the power to give them life, and we want to believe in him for the purpose of eternal life. There are many conditions related to discipleship, and we saw this morning that we are to take up our cross, that we are to offer our life, that we are to die to self. So I think that chart that I put in your handout and that's up here on the screen just sets it up and makes it very easy to see the distinction between salvation and discipleship. But there are actually three main problems where salvation and discipleship are confused. So whenever you confuse those two messages, it affects the message that we are proclaiming, it affects salvation, and it affects assurance. Let's think of first about how it affects the message. What is the message called that we are to proclaim to unbelievers? The gospel. The gospel, exactly right. So the gospel is what we are to proclaim to unbelievers. And what does that word mean, gospel? Good news, exactly right. So if I told you that in order to have eternal life, you must die to yourself, you must take up your cross, you must be willing to follow Jesus wherever he leads, I'll go. If you do what the book of Galatians says, whenever Paul, he went and gave a clear message to the Galatians, and then he left, and these Judaizers came in, and they said, in order to have eternal life, you know, Paul just gave you part of the message, let me give you the rest of it. You have to be circumcised in order to have eternal life. You have to live by the Jewish laws in order to have eternal life. That takes a good news message and makes it not good news. It's not good news that we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross. But the message of the gospel is that Jesus Christ died in our place, paying for our sins. He arose, conquering death, and he offers to us a gift of eternal life. So if we confuse or meld the two messages together, the message is no longer good news. Listen to this. This is that Galatians passage, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul is saying to the church at Galatia, he says, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him," God the Father. So I'm amazed, I'm surprised that you are so quickly deserting God the Father, "who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Why is it really not another? Because the message is adding works. It's adding that you must be circumcised. It's adding that you must live by the law. And so no longer is it a gospel message. No longer is it a good news message, but it's a message of faith plus works. Well, not only does it affect the message, it affects salvation. It makes works for salvation. Romans 11:6 says, if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. So anytime you add one work, one thing that you must do, you must get up out of your chair and walk down the aisle in order to have eternal life. You must be baptized in order to have eternal life. Anytime you add anything that you have to do, anything that you can boast in, it is no longer grace, but it's works. Galatians 2:21 says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. I don't think Christ died needlessly. He died for you and me so that we could have eternal life simply by faith in Him. And so if we add works to it, if there was any other way that we could get to God rather than Him having to send His Son, He would not have sent His Son to die in our place. And I think that's key and something that we need to remember and to take to heart. If you mess up in just one point, James 2:10, he who stumbles in one point is guilty of it all. So if you mess up in one aspect of keeping the law, if you mess up in any aspect of your life, if you don't willfully follow Jesus Christ, then you've messed up and it's cost you everything because you're guilty of the whole entire law. So it affects salvation. If we give someone a grace or a faith plus works message, we affect their salvation. What are we to be doing? We're to be bringing people from death to life. But if we give them a confused message and they think that it's based on what they do, then we've left them out there dying and struggling. It's like taking somebody and putting them in the middle of the ocean and saying, we'll see you later. I think you can make it from here. You got your eternal life. All you got to do is make it back to shore. Well, they're going to sit there and they're going to struggle for a short period of time, which happens with many people. But then eventually they're going to sink all the way down unless the grace of God, somebody comes with a clear message and saves them. People will be lost forever. This is not what we want to be happen. So we want to be clear on our message so that we can bring people from death to life so that they can have eternal life and their salvation is secure. Because the last thing is it affects our assurance. It affects our assurance. If people think that the message is faith plus works, how are they ever going to know if they've done enough works, if they've been good enough? They're never going to be assured of their salvation. But according to 1 John 5:13, Jesus Christ, God the Father, wants us to know that we've been saved. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. You know you have eternal life by believing in Jesus Christ. I talked about it last week, John 10:27-30, that we're safe, held, and protected in the hand of God. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8, the end of Romans chapter 8. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So there is nothing that we can do that can gain us eternal life. We should not confuse or mix our messages because it affects the message, it affects salvation, and it affects the assurance. And many times people's assurance are affected. They understand at the moment they put their faith in Jesus Christ that they're believing in Him and He can give them eternal life. But what happens is many times they leave that place and other people say, well, you can't really know for sure until the end of your life. You can't know until this, that, or the other, but we can know because of the promise that God made us. Titus 1:2, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. It's based on the promise of God that we have eternal life. It's like the story of a man who goes to heaven and he's standing at the pearly gates and he comes up to Peter and Peter says, "Why should I let you in?" He said, "Well, Peter, let me just tell you how I lived my life. I had this lady that lived across the street from me, and I mowed her yard my entire life and never charged her a penny." He said, "Man, that is great. That's worth 1 point. What else did you do?" He said, "Man, I taught Sunday school for 20 years of my life. I grew those people up. I gave them knowledge and understanding about you and about your word." He said, "Man, that is a great deal. That's worth 5 points. He said, "What else did you do?" He said, "Man, over the course of my life, I love sharing my faith, and I shared my faith with 1,000 people, and I led them to faith in Jesus Christ. They were believing in Jesus Christ." He said, "Man, that is great. That's worth 10 points. It only takes 1,000 to get in here. What else did you do?" And that guy looks at him, and he said, "Well, it's only by the grace of God that I could ever get in here." And Peter said, "Did you say the grace of God? Come right on in. That's worth 1,000 points. It's not based on our merit and how we live our lives that we get eternal life. It's all by grace that we are saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. So what have we seen this morning? We've seen that salvation is by grace through faith, and discipleship is based on our works. We've seen that Jesus, Paul, and John's message of salvation is distinctly different than their message of discipleship. And if we confuse salvation and discipleship, or if we fuse together salvation and discipleship, we affect the message, make salvation by works, and we remove assurance of salvation. So let's think of some applications, and they're basically what we looked at this morning, that we need to understand the distinction between salvation and discipleship. We need to understand that there are two different messages that the Bible makes. And then number two is we need to be clear when you are communicating that about salvation. Salvation is a message to who? It's a message to unbelievers, and it's a message of grace. It's a message of God's gift of eternal life, which comes by faith in the person of Jesus Christ, who is willing to die in your place so that you could have eternal life by faith in Him. He died and rose again and gives eternal life to all who believe. And then the second message is that of discipleship. And that is a message that goes to believers. It's a message for most of you who are here today who have put your faith in Jesus Christ. Any of you who are here today who have put your faith in Jesus Christ, this is the message to you, that we are to take up our cross, we are to follow Jesus Christ, be willing to go wherever He leads so that we can live a life that is pleasing to Him and pleasing to God the Father, ultimately being conformed to the image of Christ, be willing to go and put ourselves on the cross and die to ourselves so that we can give the good news message of Jesus Christ being on the cross to all of those who are unbelievers.